You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, breaking news as it happens, what it means, and, of course, why it matters.
Kevin McCullough, and here we go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Obliterating confusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. We've got a very busy show for you today. Shelley Goldberg's here. She's going to help us become better parents on some level today. We've got a personal story with our very own Matt Samblin and the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Kristen B. Tate will be here, and we have an update in the Dante Wright case. Stay with us.
Binge thinking.
Kevin McCullough.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
And he is playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. Yesterday, I made it very, very clear. The situation in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, is a tragic one because this young man who died didn't need to die. Dante Wright did not need to die at the hands of police in Brooklyn Center on Sunday. He didn't need to. The cause of his death, there's lots of different limbs to that tree. Because as you retrace the steps of exactly what happened, you have the tragic decision by the female officer to pull her gun instead of her taser. She was obviously confused because she's yelling, "Taser, taser, taser, I will tase you, I will tase you." And then when she pulls the trigger, it's not her taser. So you've got, and her taser is in the shape of a gun. Her gun is in the shape of the taser. It's not my place to say she did that on purpose. It sure looks like she thought she was going to tase him. But the police officer that made that decision has now been charged. The Post reporting a little bit earlier this afternoon that she has been charged officially with second-degree manslaughter for mistakenly drawing her gun instead of her taser. And the prosecutor said they're filing manslaughter charges against her. Washington County Attorney Peter Orput said prosecuting the fatal accident details will be released a little bit later, etc. She's 48. She resigned yesterday from her post. Her job, her career is over. She resigned, and as did the 26-year veteran and police chief, Tim Gannon. When an officer makes a mistake, the person in charge is held responsible for it as well. That doesn't always happen in the workplace. But it should. All that being said, that the legal consequence of the officer's actions is now being carried out. And I said this on yesterday's show. If she did something wrong, even if it was on accident, because as my kids can tell you in my house, we have a saying that goes on pretty regularly. Not all mistakes have to happen. Some of them are fairly avoidable. That's what a second degree manslaughter charge would give the prosecutors. It would give a degree for the judicial system to seek justice on behalf of the family of the young man, Mr. Wright, and have some accountability for her actions if they were incorrect at the time. So that's one half of the equation, and it appears as though that is coming quickly. She's being charged. So all of these people that are holding up signs, justice for Dante, I don't understand. You're getting justice. The officer who shot Mr. Wright is going to be charged criminally and will stand trial for it. By the way, that's exactly what's still happening in Minneapolis with the trial of Derek Chauvin. Everybody that rioted and looted and burned buildings down last year, all assuming that justice would never be carried out, well, you're looking pretty foolish now. Because Chauvin's been in jail for a year and he's on trial and justice is being served. The facts are being told. The investigations were completed. And it appears in pretty lightning speed time in Brooklyn Center, the same thing is happening in the Dante Wright shooting. Ironically, just outside of the Minneapolis city proper. But I want to go back to one other thing that I said yesterday, and this is equally true. Dante Wright did not have he didn't need to be dead today. And for the degree that Kimberly Potter's actions contributed to that, she is now facing the consequence of. But Dante Wright's parents and Dante Wright had a great deal to do with how he ended up dead on this day as well. I read and linked to the social media a couple of days ago, the father's statement. Well, Dante, we always babied Dante. He was overall a good kid. Really? A good kid. Been arrested and charged three times in the last 2 years with serious crimes. The reason that the police officers in Brooklyn City were attempting to arrest him is because he was wanted on an open warrant for a gun crime. These are unimpeachable facts. You cannot, they're empirical. You can't argue with these. He was a wanted criminal. And I don't care if his daddy said, well, we used to baby him. That's not society's problem, Dad. If you didn't teach your son to respect the law, if you didn't teach your son to obey proper authority, God-sanctioned authority over him, that it becomes society's problem to deal with the person that you did create because you chose not to deal with him when you were raising him. So as he was driving on expired tags and got pulled over, as I have multiple times. So it wasn't a racial thing to pull him over for expired tags. They pull white people over for expired tags, too. They look at his ID and they run his name through the computer and it comes back with a ping. Ping. Arrest this person. He's wanted for this gun crime on this date. The warrant is there. It's active. It's an open warrant. They return to tell him that he needs to cooperate and that they are moving to arrest him. He again disrespects authority. He disrespected authority in driving with the expired tags. He disrespected authority in flaunting his criminal warrant. He disrespected authority when he committed the crimes that the warrant was issued for. This kid has a serious problem with consistently disrespecting God-sanctioned authority. And if you don't think that the civil government that we have around us is not our proper God-sanctioned authority, you don't know scripture. I have to obey a police officer if he gives me a lawful order. I'm not allowed to steal other people's things, kill other people. I'm not allowed to do those things. So if he had a problem with that authority, as he apparently did, they were moving to arrest him, not for just disrespecting authority, but for breaking laws and for being a wanted criminal at the time. When he resisted that arrest, He put himself in harm's way. Police officers are allowed to use whatever restraint is necessary to bring a person into custody who is an open and warranted felon. There is no confusion here. Kimberly Potter, for her actions, needs to be held accountable for using the wrong weapon to restrain the young man. But if you are Dante Wright's family today, you need to be doing some serious soul searching about what you did to contribute to your son's death, because you were contributing to it years and years and years in advance. This is why my children, my sons, my black son and my two white sons will all be taught the same thing. Respect the God-sanctioned authority that is over you, be it your teachers, be it your parents, be it the police. Because in doing so, you extend your life. You do what is best when you obey lawful authority. That's where we stand with the Dante Wright story. As of this minute, Kimberly Potter, the policewoman who shot Mr. Wright, has been charged and will be going to trial. All right, Kevin McCullough, we've got a lot to get to. Kamala Harris doesn't want to go to border states, but she wants to go to Mexico and Guatemala. Kristen B. Tate joins me to discuss that next. Stay with us. Hi, Kevin McCullough. Every week, we always check in with the mortgage guys over at Fellowship Home Loans. The reason I do this is because I want you to have the very latest up-to-date information about how you could be saving money on your mortgage payment month after month. And Brian Sheely is back with us. Brian, besides a lower interest rate, which is obviously a huge advantage in and of itself, what else can people actually accomplish by refinancing right now?
That's a great question, and people ask us all the time, like, hey, besides just the lower rate, what else can we do? And we're seeing a lot of people taking advantage of this newfound equity in their home, and they're able to consolidate some bills or get some cash out for home improvements. And when you consolidate maybe that second mortgage or home equity loan or the credit cards or installment loans, the amount of money that you can save is just outrageous, and you can just pay your house off even that much faster. And still with these historically low interest rates, sky's the limit, but it really has to happen just first with that phone call, Kevin, like we always talk about. We can't do anything if you don't make that first step.
Well, and that's why I want people to get up off the couch, grab your phone, and put this number in it, 800-804-SAVE, 800-804-SAVE. If you're driving, put it in there and then call it later. I want you to be safe wherever you are, 800-804-SAVE. But the reason that I want you to do that is because of the upside, the benefits that it could have for you, your family, the stewardship of your finances, and the long-term financial health of your family. 800-804-SAVE, 800-804-SAVE. Call today, 1-800-804-SAVE. Brian Sheely, thanks so much.
Download the AM570 The Mission mobile app on iTunes, Google Play, or listen on WMCA.com, TuneIn, iHeart, Alexa, or Radio.com.
A heart attack? He was 47. What about Janice and the kids? Do they have life insurance?
No.
Call SelectQuote now and get the insurance your family needs at a price you can afford.
In minutes, SelectQuote found John, 45, in excellent health, a $500,000 policy for only $29 a month. And his wife, Anne, 43, in excellent health, a $500,000 policy for only $21 a month.
At SelectQuote, we comparison shop some of the most trusted insurance companies in America to find you the best rate in minutes. And it's free.
For your free quote, call 1-800-644-1331. That's 1-800-644-1331. Or go to selectquote.com. That's 1-800-644-1331.
SelectQuote. We shop. You save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. As you know, my friend, Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop just by making the best pillow, which he did. Now Mike has gone and done it again, introducing My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop these slippers. They are designed to wear indoor and out all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, they are also made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you'll want to get some for the whole family. Call 1-800-651-0798 and use the promo code WMCA. Or go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Square, and use promo code WMCA. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, my personal favorite, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Call 1-800-651-0798 and use the promo code WMCA.
My name is Namrita Singh Gujral. I am a filmmaker and an immigrant. My film, America's Forgotten, uncovers the unintended consequences of a broken immigration system.
The 7-year-old girl died in the desert.
This child came from the country of India.
I'm living in Tacharo. I can go to the police.
I never expected this journey would lead me to a truth that I never intended to find.
A great pillar of the community was killed by a man who had been deported at least twice.
The public would be outraged if they knew the truth.
I found how much Americans are being lied to regarding our immigration policies at the border. My friends, my industry, even my family all rallied against the final message of this film. All credits had to be hidden for fear of retribution. If you care about the future of America, you should watch America's Forgotten.
Use promo code WMCA for additional savings.
When you need a lawyer you can trust, call the law offices of Dan Buttafuoco and Associates. Call 1-800-NOW-HURT. That's 1-800-NOW-HURT.
Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. As I mentioned, going to break after the monologue, the vice president has announced travel plans in the days to come. It's going to be rather interesting because she is traveling to, of all places, Mexico and Guatemala amidst this ongoing migrant crisis at the southern border. But she has yet to visit the U.S. states affected by the havoc. And this, despite the fact that she was named as the point person for the administration on the border issue just a number of weeks ago. Here to discuss this is the contributor to The Hill. You read her column usually on Sundays in that fine publication. And someone who has been watching the immigration and economic issues related to the Biden presidency ever since it started only 4 months ago. Kristen B. Tate is back with us. Kristen, I know that it is kind of surreal for sometimes those on the political left to have to admit this, but it sure does often look like some of them don't want to do their jobs. When it comes to Kamala Harris and immigration, she's been placed as this kind of czar that's supposed to be in charge of understanding what's going on and kind of communicating back to the president about it. But she can't even find herself bothered enough to go down there. What's going on here?
It's really pathetic, but I think the reason she's not going down there is there's really no benefit to her, right? Because if she goes down there, there's going to be all these damaging photos of her surrounded by this mess that the administration created with all of these unaccompanied minors. It would just be an optics disaster, right? So I can see why, from a PR perspective, she wouldn't go down there. But the problem, obviously, is that this administration is prioritizing optics and rhetoric over actual action. I mean, if they were interested in really solving this problem, first of all, Kamala Harris never would have been named the immigration czar, someone who has said she wants to give free health care to illegal immigrants and essentially wants open borders. Secondly, they wouldn't be prioritizing, you know, trying to avoid photo ops over actually fixing the problem by securing our border. I mean, what's going on right now is unprecedented, and I think a lot of Americans who watch left-wing news aren't even aware of it, like CNN and MSNBC, and probably the administration is thinking that if she goes down there, all of a sudden, all of these Americans who have been brainwashed by the left-wing media will start to realize there's a real crisis down there, and something has to be done.
Well, and given that that is the reality of what we're dealing with, you know, it's not going to become any easier by further ignoring it. I don't understand the strategy to send her to Mexico and Guatemala proper to do what exactly? What does she do with them? What does she do with them that she can't, appear to be giving some genuine degree of help with in border states?
If they send her down to those countries, then they can say, oh, she's working on the problem without having her in the same space as all of these unaccompanied minors, which would just be, again, an optics disaster. Another thing that this administration is probably going to say is that they're going to try to solve this problem by giving more tax dollars to Guatemala and these other Central American countries to try to help them fix their economies, which we all know it's just not the answer to this problem. We need to address border security first. Throwing around more U.S. tax dollars and giving them to other countries in hopes of trying to sort of bribe them not to send illegal immigrants up to our border is really not going to be an effective strategy. But I'm almost certain that's the direction they're heading in.
Right. Well, and, you know, when she was asked about this, she pawned it off and said, well, the president has asked the Homeland Security Secretary to address what's going on at the border. Now, this is interesting, Kristen, because they were adamant early on about saying that there was nothing that Homeland Security need to be concerned about when it came to the border. You know, you turn back the wheel like 12 weeks. That was their position. There's no border security issue. This is a humanitarian issue. So which is it?
Well, obviously, it's both, but it's more of a crisis. I mean, the focus of the administration, of any administration, should be the well-being of U.S. citizens. That should always come first. And when you essentially just keep our borders wide open, you're hurting the people who already live here, Americans, in a number of ways. You're driving down wages. You are flooding the country with new people who could eventually become voters, right, which disenfranchises all of our votes. You are hurting the economy by giving taxpayer-funded subsidies like food stamps and housing to people who aren't even citizens of this country. So what I want to know, Kevin, is why aren't the people in charge concerned about the well-being of the people who live in this country and pay taxes? Why is the concern always placed first and foremost on people who broke our laws by coming in? And I'm not saying it's not a humanitarian crisis and we shouldn't be concerned about the well-being of these people. It's just become frustrating to many Americans to always have the needs of the people who live here being secondary to the needs of those who have come in unlawfully and are now demanding a free ride.
Yeah, but it's also something else, Kristen. And this is where I think a lot of Americans are at. 90 to 120 days ago, we didn't have this problem. And we didn't have this problem because President Trump had coordinated with Mexico to see to it that asylum seekers who were still trying to come and seek asylum could be worked through the process, but they would wait on the Mexico side of the border. And if and when their case was adjudicated, they would have either the permission to come in or they would be sent back to where they came from. This greatly stemmed the tide of what was happening, which was everybody was trying to make a bull rush for the gate. As a result of saying, no, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to bring them into the U.S. to do the processing. And eventually, a couple of weeks later, they said, well, there's too many to process. We're just going to turn them all loose. It has been the direct actions of the president and the vice president's team that created a situation that literally had been solved, that literally did not exist 120 days ago.
Well, that's exactly right. And that may be a function, not a bug, right? We don't know if the administration wants more illegal immigrants to come in. Tucker Carlson has been talking for the last few nights about what he calls the replacement theory, which is basically the Democrats can't win on their ideas anymore. So they just need to import new voters to keep them in power. So all of this may be being done insidiously by the left because they know that their policies are so toxic that any taxpaying American just wouldn't vote for them, right? So the solution is to, I guess, just import more voters. And if that's what's going on, it's really disgraceful. That's the cynic in me. Now, the other side is maybe they really are just naive and they didn't realize that the rhetoric coming from the top would incentivize this huge wave of migrants at the border, and now they don't know how to deal with it. So either option is not good. We need to come up with a solution to figure it out.
Well, and I think that to be very, very honest, I think that the more they can create confusion about it, the less direct accountability they can say, you know, was theirs to take. It's kind of the chaos theory. You just make everything so out of control all the time that eventually you get the you try to just. Distract by going from one distraction to another. And the border has certainly taken the ball, taken our eye off the ball in terms of how badly the vaccine rollout's going, what we're doing with Iran, China, Russia, you know, the foreign policy things. They're all distracted. We can't get to those issues right now. And now we're back to what's going on with our border. Anyway, Kristen, always appreciate you being with us. Thank you for your help today.
Thank you, Kevin.
Kevin McCullough, we've still got a bunch to get to. Don't go away. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
This year, nearly 22,000 American women will be diagnosed with ovarian cancer, and another 14,000 will die. Even worse, 10% of these deaths will be linked to a product that is found in nearly everyone's medicine cabinet. Hey ladies, this is Liz Black, and I need to tell you about a common household product that is killing innocent women. Talcum powder. For decades, studies showed that talcum contained asbestos, a known cancer-causing agent. Yet, companies like Johnson & Johnson unconscionably sell this dangerous product. This May, after being conclusively linked to deadly ovarian cancer, mesothelioma, and fallopian cancer, talcum powder was finally pulled from shelves. If you or a loved one received a cancer diagnosis after using talcum powder at any point, call Buttafuoco & Associates today at 1-800-NOW-HURT. Buttafuoco & Associates is helping clients recover significant damages. If you think your cancer may have been caused by talcum powder, call today, 1-800-NOW-HURT. That's 1-800-NOW-HURT.
It's getting harder and harder to make sense out of today's headlines. To stay on top of breaking world and national news with a Christian worldview and a faith-based perspective on what it means, turn to ChristianHeadlines.com. Log on to ChristianHeadlines.com for the very latest news, and then sign up for our free daily newsletter to stay one step ahead of what's happening. Get out of the mainstream media rut with top news and positive headlines every day with ChristianHeadlines.com.
Join Alistair Begg, Laura Story, and Michael O'Brien on the Deeper Faith Alaska Cruise the summer of 2021.
Hello, I'm Alistair Begg, and I'm excited to tell you that I'll be joining my friends at Salem Media Group in the summer of 2021 to host a cruise to Alaska, and I'm hoping that you can join me. Alaska, as you know, is filled with glaciers, rugged mountains, and wildlife, a land where God's design and majesty are constantly on display. If you've ever dreamed of exploring this amazing place, now's your opportunity, especially as we'll experience the wonders of Alaska in a community of other believers, and this from the comfort of our first-class ship. The week will be enhanced as my friends Laura Story and Michael O'Brien lead us in worship, and as together we look at God's Word for both challenge and inspiration. I look forward to seeing you there.
Sign up now, 855-565-5519, or log on to deeperfaithcruise.com.
Do you want to send your child to a Christian school but are overwhelmed by the cost? Then WMCA's discount tuition program may be right for you. The discount tuition program is a way for parents to send their children to a quality Christian school at half the cost of the annual tuition. We've partnered up with some of the leading schools in the New York, New Jersey metro area to help parents to reduce the costs and still have their children receive a quality, faith-based education. Here are just a few of the participating schools. Gateway Academy, Eastern Christian Elementary, Bergen County Christian Academy. You can see the full list of participating schools at WMCA.com. WMCA is also offering each school the opportunity to promote their school with a full radio advertising campaign. For more information on how you can send your children to a Christian school at half the cost of the annual tuition or how you can get your school enrolled in the program, go to WMCA.com or call Rachel at 212-857-9630. That's 212-857-9630.
The WMCA April Ministry of the Month is The Narrow Path with Steve Gregg.
Let's talk to Paul from Buena Vista, Colorado.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Listen to this question and answer Bible broadcast weeknights at 7.
Your sins are taken care of, so why would you come back and ask for forgiveness for them?
Confessing our sins is ongoing because, unfortunately, our sins are also ongoing.
The Narrow Path, new to WMCA and the April Ministry of the Month on AM 570 and 102.3 FM, The Mission, WMCA.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. Obliterating confusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, very glad to have you with us. And, you know, this has been an interesting week for the operations crew at Salem, New York, my flagship operations team that helped me out every single weekday, because we've had not one, but two cases of COVID-19 afflict our team. And one of them under fairly extraordinary circumstances, and I've invited him to chat with us about that. Matthew Sambolin is the operations manager for the Salem Radio Network in New York City. He operates the operations for AM 570, The Mission, and FM 102.3, and also AM 970, The Answer, which is the News Talk property here in New York. Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. Matt, thank you for jumping on. And I want to make it perfectly clear to my audience that the first thing I said was, yes, I'm interested in talking to you about your story, but I want to make sure you're OK first. So you got diagnosed a few days ago. How's the recovery so far?
Recovery has been slow and steady. Mild symptoms, thankfully, so far. Runny nose, cough, fatigue. But let's hope that they stay just like this.
Yeah. Did you have any of the breathing complications that some people have reported when they come down with it?
I have not had any breathing issues. Again, hopefully it doesn't elevate to that level. Yeah. But as I was diagnosed Monday positive through a PCR test, I did have symptoms, a cough, starting 3 days prior to getting that test result. But gotcha. I got tested as soon as I got the first sign of an issue.
You know, what's interesting is, like, I am now self-conscious about coughing in public. Like, if I don't want people to hear me and I have allergies sometimes, and I'm like, I don't want them to think I'm afflicted with the plague. Which is
coughing or even sneezing in public at this point is both cautious.
People give you the evil eye like you wouldn't believe. And the other day after my exercise class, I'm laying there on my mat and I just have this allergy thing that starts to happen. And I just need to wail. And I prevent myself from doing it because I was like, nope, I'm going to get outside and away from everybody before they run me out on tar and feathers. But what was unique about your story was you got diagnosed exactly 14 days after your vaccination. Tell me how that happened.
So I was vaccinated with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine on March 24th. And then approximately 2 weeks afterwards, I found out that I came in contact with someone who started to experience symptoms at the workplace. And that exposure was approximately 2 weeks after I got my Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And I wanted to get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine because I was going to be traveling out of town the following week. It was convenient, a one-time shot.
One versus two. Who wouldn't? I mean, that's right. What I've said to 1,000 people so far.
And what the research that I've read about it, it was tended to be a little more effective against the new variant strains that were out, which is another reason why I wanted to get it. But I had exposure 2 weeks right after I got the vaccine. And then when I found out that this person had tested positive a few days later, that's when I started to get my first symptom, which was a cough. I got tested that day, which was Saturday. I got the rapid and the PCR test. The rapid test came back negative.
Right.
Monday, I got my results back from my PCR, and that turned up positive.
Yeah. Yeah, the tests are kind of weird that way. Like, if you get a positive on the rapid, it's kind of like pregnancy test. You are definitely, definitely positive. But that negative on that rapid test does not necessarily mean that you're out of the woods, as you found out. So, you know, it's interesting because on the day that you kind of let the staff know that this was the situation you were in, and by the way, half of our team is now quarantining. I mean, people should see how I'm actually getting the show produced each day with baling wire and duct tape kind of stuck around the corners. But it's really interrupted our flow of work order normally, even for the Piscopo show and for my shows. And, you know, fortunately, we're figuring it out as we go along. But this was kind of a big deal to have not one but two people hit. And on the same day that you told us, it was announced that the government, the presidential administration, was going to halt the Johnson & Johnson distribution over blood clots. I mean, I guess they had like six cases, you know, with pregnant women that are also on the pill or whatever. So they thought this is something that we need to shut down. I'm just curious your thoughts about Johnson & Johnson overall, given that you did eventually come down with it anyway.
Well, you know, I know the efficacy rate is a lot smaller than the Moderna and Pfizer. But again, I really wanted it due to convenience and because of the variant strains that it seemed to be more effective with. But I'm still happy. I am vaccinated. It's really the only way we can get to herd immunity. And even though I did get COVID afterwards, as long as it keeps me out of the hospital, I think it'll still do its job.
Well, that'll be good. And they did say when the vaccines were starting to be developed that some of the benefit is that people that do end up getting it get a less case of it. And it sounds like your symptoms have not been as brutal as they could be, according right. to what some people have gotten. So maybe it is working on your behalf.
Anyway. I hope it is working. Obviously, the blood clots in the women is cause for concern. I know it's only in women that's afflicted at this time, but it does make me curious. Is that something that I may have to worry about in the future, being that I have this vaccine, as does my wife?
Yeah, that'll be something to watch, interestingly enough. Hey, Matt, get well. We will try to carry on in your absence until you can. And thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Kevin McCullough, we got a lot left. Shelley Goldberg with a parenting tip next. Stay with us.
Jerry Hickey at Invite Health here. All of us have to take care of our heart and memory. That's why I start my day with Resveratrol Max. In human clinical research, 200 milligrams of trans-resveratrol supports memory, offers maximum benefit for your brain, and protects your heart. Resveratrol Max is formulated with grapeseed extract and quercetin and offered in oxygen and light-resistant vegetable capsules to amplify and maintain the benefits of resveratrol. Buy one bottle of Resveratrol Max at suggested retail and get the second bottle free. Order now and get free shipping. Speak with an Invite nutritionist 7 days a week or call to order now at 800-459-2272. The number for Invite, 800-459-2272. Visit InviteHealth.com for product information or to find a retail location. Trust a brand offering the highest quality products made with evidence-based ingredients from clinical trials. Call Invite at 800-459-2272 for Resveratrol Max now.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. I can't make heads or tails of elder law or estate care, and I got to tell you, Mike Connors does. That's why I want you to get your questions asked from him every Thursday on my show, Kevin McCullough Radio. Just email your question to askmikeconnors@gmail.com or call 718-238-6500. Then listen to Mike's show Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock on AM 570 The Mission and FM 102.3, and Sunday mornings starting at 11 on AM 970 The Answer.
Kevin Cottrell, Coffee with Kevin. I want to invite you to join Dennis Prager and Mike Gallagher for a travel opportunity that may be the highlight of the year. We're going back to Israel, October 2021, for a 10-day Stand with Israel tour. If you've ever dreamed of seeing Israel, and I've been there a couple of times, it's wonderful. Take advantage of this opportunity and register today. Walk in the footsteps of Jesus. No cancellation fees until May 8th. Call 855-565-5519 or you can book online at standwithisraeltour.com.
AM 570 and 102.3 FM, The Mission, WMCA. Listen online at WMCA.com, tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or radio.com.
This is Ed Morrissey of HotAir.com for Town Hall. For most Americans, the definition of bipartisan is straightforward. It means both parties working together. During the 2020 election campaign, Joe Biden defined it the same way, arguing that he could lead the country back to a healthy collaboration on public policy, as he claimed to have done in the Senate. Biden pledged to be a president for all Americans rather than just his party. But since taking office, Biden's definition of bipartisan has shifted, like something straight out of Orwell. Rather than allow Republicans to participate in Biden's initiatives, Biden instead claims that his proposals are already bipartisan, even with no Republican support. In doing so, Biden has become the president of a handful of Democrats on Capitol Hill, not all Americans. It's bad enough that some Senate Democrats have begun to balk at Biden's autocratic approach, and even media outlets like the Washington Post have begun taking notice. The voting public should not be fooled by this dangerous experiment.
Publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you could save money on your mortgage payment and put more money into your pocket, wouldn't that make sense? Now is the perfect time to call my very good friends, Mike and Brian, at Fellowship Home Loans. Home values are up. The housing market is strong. Interest rates are low, and they're going to stay low. Talk to Mike and Brian about ways you could possibly eliminate PMI, private mortgage insurance, consolidate debt, take cash out for home improvements, and save on your taxes. As a direct lender, you deal directly with the decision makers who will save you the money and guide you every step of the way. And with outstanding customer service reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, you will be amazed by how well you are treated and how simple they make this very complicated process. Call Mike Rakeman and Brian Sheely at Fellowship Home Loans and lock in your low rate today. 800-804-SAVE. That's 800-804-SAVE. Intercontinental Capital Group, DBA, Fellowship Home Loans, Licensed Mortgage Banker, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 60134.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio.
Everywhere I go.
It's happening in New York or across the globe. Learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. On Wednesdays, we set down the front page for a wee bit to focus on something that's very important in many of our lives, and that is our parenting experience and what we're doing and how we're doing it. And Shelley Goldberg, former parenting reporter for New York One, is back with us, and she has been such a resource for me personally. Forget about helping all of you guys. She's helped me figure some stuff out over the last 3 years that we've been doing this. And Shelley, I'm very grateful for your friendship and for your guidance. And today we're going to talk about something that I think may be more common coming out of lockdown than it might have been going into the pandemic. And that is helping our kids focus a little bit more on what they need to focus on. What are your thoughts?
Okay, Kevin, thank you. So important is this topic. And because we're living in a world increasingly where there's so many distractions, you know, between the COVID and, in, you know, online learning and staying at home and the news, basically the underpinning, the foundation of most of our lives, including our children's lives, have been totally disrupted. And with that comes a lot of distraction. Now, I'm not talking about ADD. We can talk about that another time. I'm talking about kids who just wake up in the morning and are having more and more trouble focusing. And who can blame them? Really, who can blame them? So I did some research, and I want to send your listeners to a great article by a Dr. Shireen Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, on ways to increase concentration with your kids. And I found some great tips, and I want to share them with your listeners. All right. Number one, you want to have a soothing environment, Kevin. So that means, you know, those zebra pillows or maybe, you know, the bright colors in the living room. For certain kids, and you know, you have conversations with your children and you'll find out, is that disruptive? Is that, like, uncomfortable visually to any of your children? So soothing colors, sometimes a fish tank. Some kids like soft music, you know, played low in the background. Things that are strewn all over the place, you know, in the living room might be great if you're living alone. But for a lot of kids, that can really increase their distraction. So check the environment in your home first. Okay, soothing. Soft lighting. I was going to say, even the lighting can have an effect on certain children. And you can engage your children in the conversation and they'll give you input too. All right. Number two, look at the games your kids are playing. You want to keep them away from the gadgets and the computers as much as possible because all of those things reduce attention span and they just make it difficult to focus. You want the thinking games, Kevin, the crossword puzzles, the memory games, the jigsaw puzzles, those wonderful games I used to love as a kid. What's wrong with this picture? You know, you look at a picture and you try to find what's wrong or what's missing. All right. playing the game of statues with your kids where they have to stand and not move for 5 minutes. Or actually, you can do it in the house. You don't have to do it outside. You can do it at home. Or playing a game of where you reward your kids to see how long you literally, they get a payoff, how long they can sit in a chair and just sit, not move. All right. Another thing you can do, Kevin, is you set up some items in the corner of a room. It's a kind of memory game.
Okay.
And then leave the room. The kids leave the room, and then they have to come back and recall. They have to recall after they study the corner, then they leave the room, and then they have to tell you what they remember is in that corner. You ask them the questions. So they have to focus in order to do that, right? You also have to know your child's learning style. Some kids are better with auditory learning. Other kids need to see things written down. If you have a child that does better with seeing things written down, then putting lists and taping them to the wall is going to help them focus and be more organized. Music. Sometimes there are certain kids where music is distracting, and other kids it's incredibly soothing and it will help them focus. So you have to know your kids. You want to also, Kevin, allow time for distractions. So that means your kids are focusing, they're working on a project, then you say, okay, 10 minutes, everybody up, let's run around the house. We're going to, it can't be just one long extended 2 hour period of focus, because for most kids, that's very, very hard, and they're just going to get more fidgety.
Right.
You also want to use energy effectively. That means knowing your child's style. If they're morning people and they do well in the morning, then that's when they should be doing the task that requires the most focus. So study each of your kids and write down or make a note. This one does better at 7 o'clock at night. This one is roaring to go at 8 o'clock in the morning. But know when you can use the energy the most effectively. A good night's sleep, routines, healthy food, all of those things also work. Your thoughts?
No, I think that you're right. And my middle, who is 8, is the most inconsistent in his diet. He doesn't eat as well-rounded a diet as the other two. He just doesn't like fruits and vegetables as much. There's just things. I mean, we make him eat the minimum, but, he could be eating more. And he is the one that, gets most distracted when he plays a little bit of Minecraft on the iPad. We have to, really work to get him back to square one when it's time to go do chores and other things like that. He's the one that, just has a lot of those things that you were just describing. And we want to keep him on a routine. We want to help him eat well. He's got different energy level. First thing in the morning, he's a little bit more groggy. Mid afternoon, he's kind of in his peak. And by bedtime, he's kind of down again. So there's kind of, there is a web and flow of the energy level, but it is something that we have struggled with. Our oldest and our youngest don't have any struggle with focus at all. The oldest is very set on achieving, understands he has to focus to make his goals happen, et cetera, et cetera. And the youngest wants to just, run the world someday. So she's already just pounding to get at the bid is for the day. But our middle is the one that struggles with this. And I'm going to put some of these things to use, because I think we could do a good job.
Okay. I was also going to suggest, Kevin, that it's dividing those bigger tasks into smaller ones sometimes helps. Having a reward system also helps, where there's either more praise, or it's a gift, or it's a
right.
book, or it's a trip to a store. So sometimes a reward system, and sometimes getting the kids themselves involved and asking them directly, what do you think would help you better focus?
Yeah.
Or what is it in this room that would make things kind of calm and almost feel like it's bedtime? And somebody might say, there's too much light in this room. Could we?
Well, and I'm going to take a look at that, and I'm going to ask little Jonathan about that. But I do notice incentives work tremendously. So last night it was who can get their pajamas on and brush their teeth and be ready for bed first? There's 3 bathrooms. There's 3 kids. Go. They all wanted to participate. We had great focus at that moment, because there were There was an incentive on the other end of it for the prize of the winner. And I ended up giving some prizes to the second and third place as well. But anyway, Shelley, thank you as always. Great help for us today to help our young people focus a little bit better. And if you missed any of it, friends, go back and re-listen. The podcast is always free at SoundCloud.com or Apple Podcasts under Kevin McCullough Radio. Just look for the Parenting Express with Shelley Goldberg. Shelley, always appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin.
Kevin McCullough coming right back. Don't go anywhere. Hi, Kevin McCullough. As you know, my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop just by making the best pillow, which he did. Now Mike has gone and done it again, introducing My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop these slippers. They are designed to wear indoor and out all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, they are also made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you'll want to get some for the whole family. Call 1-800-651-0798 and use the promo code WMCA. Or go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Square, and use promo code WMCA. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, my personal favorite, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Call 1-800-651-0798 and use the promo code WMCA.
Listen to your favorite Christian programs anytime on the OnePlace app. Download and listen offline. Stream to your car or automated home device. Download OnePlace at Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, very glad to have you with us. I was very oddly... strangely looking through social media earlier this morning. And if you're not following us, by the way, on Instagram, the handle is at KMC Radio. You can follow us on Parler at KMC Radio, Gab at KMC Radio. I am going to be part of Mike Lindell's new platform called frankspeech.com. If you want to sign up, you can't sign up until Monday though. But I will be on there as well. And you can follow us on Twitter at a handle labeled Radio Night Live, which is the name of the other show that we do each day besides Kevin McCullough Radio. Having said all of that, I was very befuddled this morning as I was thumbing through some things I saw on Twitter, particularly that had come from Dr. Tim Keller. Dr. Tim Keller decided to go on a 6 or 7 or 8 post rant on his Twitter feed that went after what was called the purity movement. And you may remember the purity movement. There was a book called I Kiss Dating Goodbye, and purity culture became this desire for young people to save themselves for marriage. And some people took it a little bit further. They gave up all physical affection prior to their wedding. Some people didn't go that far. It was kind of left up to the individual person. But the one thing that they all had in common was that they wanted to save sexual activity for their marriage partner. And that was the focus of what was called the purity culture. Sexual abstinence outside of marriage, period. For some reason, he went on a 6 or 7 post rant about the damage that the purity culture has done. And he said that it's very different than the Bible's message, which is to save sex for marriage and the long term commitment that one gets in a marriage relationship, which I certainly understand and agree with. But so does the purity culture. The purity culture agrees with that as well. See, the purity culture and Dr. Tim Keller are kind of on the same side. They're on the same side that scripture says, hey, let's save sex for marriage and let's not, be involving ourselves in it and on all these other levels outside of that. But he talked about why the purity culture had done damage, and certainly it needed to be understood that it wasn't completely biblical in its approach, which I find really disturbing. Why is Dr. Tim Keller taking on the purity culture when in the actual culture, that he helped usher in by allowing people to vote for Joe Biden, we now have anatomical males in the dressing rooms and locker rooms, showers and bathrooms of our daughters. Why are we shooting the people that are on the same side as us? This doesn't make any sense to me. And I would like someone to explain it. I'm Kevin McCullough. We'll see you tomorrow.